Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. That's our confidence tonight. Oh, God, that's our trust in thee, Lord. We believe that you are the author and you are the finisher of our faith. You are the one who led us down through life's journey. You are the one, dear God, that we are depending on. You are the one that we've learned to trust. You are the one that, Lord, we know is reliable and we can depend upon you tonight. We lift our eyes unto you tonight, Father. Oh, it's so good to be in your great presence, Lord. It's so good to be gathered in the company of your saints. Oh, God, a place that you have chosen to place your name. Hallelujah! By divine revelation. Lord, give us access to come and stand in this grace. Hallelujah! Lord, recognizing an open channel of communication, a channel of inspiration, Lord. Oh, God, a part of the word you have placed for this hour. That we can abide in this word. You promised to meet with us in this word. Oh, the world will not see you, but we will see because you'll come to us, Lord. If you abide in me and my word, abide in you, can ask what you will, he said. Hallelujah. We thank you for that tonight, Lord. It gives such a peace in our hearts to know the God. Part of that word is truth. Oh, my God, I pray tonight, Lord, you'll have your way in this service. We've come tonight, Lord, and we're offer prayer for the sick and the needy among us. Lord, you said above all things that your children prosper in health. You, the great Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. Raphael. Glory be to God in the highest. Oh, God, may you move on the scene tonight. May that dove of agape love. Hallelujah. Lord, that one that came from the bounds of the Jordan. Hallelujah. The united with the Lamb. Oh, God, may that one show himself alive here. The one who came in Sabino Canyon. Hallelujah, that ride his trail once more. And you came back to reveal his time for that, Lord. Oh, my God, have your way, Father. Lord, we just come in this service into your hands, praying that you'd build faith into such a place tonight. And oh, God, everyone, the things that they are believing for, the things that they know you have kept provided for them, and that you are here to minister unto them, Lord. Move their hearts and minds in a channel tonight where faith can be anointed, where faith can be lifted to the bracket. Lord, and all that they have need of, Lord God, can move right into it tonight. Faith to operate the word. Oh, God, our power is here, you said. But we need faith to operate it, Lord. Faith to charge it. And we pray you will bring that stimulation. You will stimulate that faith. Oh, God, faith will bring people to the power, and the power will produce the promise. Grant it, Lord. We commit this service into your hands. We commit each and every one into your hands. We thank you for what you are doing among us. We thank you for the grace that you have poured out. Lord, we thank you for the blessing we have already received from you. And we look forward with great anticipation to what you will do tonight. May it bring glory and honor to your name. May it draw each and everyone closer to you. Grant it, we ask, in the precious, almighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise his wonderful name, God, which to bless you tonight. We're certainly happy to be in his house, to be in his presence. Let's just open up the word. We'd like to read out of Daniel chapter 9 and Revelation 3. Just a little exhortation for a little faith to depend on the prayer line. And I'm not going to try to attempt to preach tonight. I mean, we wanted to just let the Lord do something that we know that many are in need, and we just need a touch from him. The same word we spoke this last few nights, we just stimulate that word that's flowing in our hearts, we pray, and we would see the children be blessed and be encouraged and strengthened, and we should be happy for that. We welcome everyone in the house of God tonight, and we'll just talk to God. We'll just stimulate faith and grace, and thank you for our minister brothers here to be with me in the prayer line. We're sick tonight, and we certainly desire to be a channel that God can bring blessing to you, minister to me, since you're having a life.
Daniel chapter 9, and we pray here, we're going to take that, the spirit of good faith, because this book of Daniel, he's a man of great prayer, and a lot of time was spent in prayer. We see that also the book is so vivid, you just can't miss it. We're going to read from verse 1, Daniel chapter 9. And we said we, later on, we try to maybe get a more focused way as we're teaching things in the book, but just to pick a few places to sort of get you acquainted and the things that we believe that you would like to look at this time. Book 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. The Medes and the Persians had conquered Babylon, you know. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years concerning which the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and awesome God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thine ordinances. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, who spoke in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. God spoke by his prophets, ministers, bringing the word to every realm of society. And Daniel realized, if we are in Babylon, if we are in bondage, if we are under affliction, the rod of affliction, it meant that we have displeased God. We are under chastisement. And so that's why he's confessing. Though Daniel is one of the only ones in the Bible, you never really find nothing written against him. Everything, his character is so perfect, he was greatly beloved before God. There's no blemish of his character anywhere. And yet here's the man praying and crying out to God, only because of his identification with the people of Israel. He knew he was a Jew, he knew he was part of the nation, he knew that he was in captivity too, he was part of the ones that were deported to Babylon. So just the mere fact he was there, he didn't try to appeal his own personal righteousness before God. But he identified himself with his people. That's a great thing when a person's heart and mind is coming to such a place that they can see how God sees them. See, sometimes people, you know, they know I'm in the church here sometimes, and I didn't do that, and I didn't do this. And this is my individual thing, I'm in this. And you know, they plead their own righteousness before God. And sometimes you see the church being hindered, you proud, say, Lord, we have sinned. You see, it's not because you say, Lord, we have sinned, God says, yes, you sinned. No, no. Let God see that you are consciously identifying with the people. You're not trying to plead self-righteousness to me. Verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of face. As at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel, that are near and that are far off, to all the countries to which thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee, O Lord. To us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he had set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel has transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us. He realized
judgment is poured upon them.
And the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And Daniel was a great prime minister in the land. Can you imagine? He would say, man, I have everything, I don't want to pray like this. No, that wasn't. You see, he is justifying God in his prayer. He's saying, God, if you judge us, your judgment ain't wrong. So mercies and righteousness belong unto you. He said, why have you afflicted us? Why are we going to go through all this? Lord, you know my life? My life blameless before you. He didn't plead that. He said, Lord, you are righteous. You poured your fury upon us, and that's exactly what we deserve. And we deserve much more than that. Like Ezra said, you deal with us after your kindness and not according to our sin. Amen. See? So, verse 11. Ye all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, this curse poured out upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his word. Watch all of this prayer. Follow through that prayer and see. Look at the consciousness that's put in the prayer, that the areas that he focused in the prayer, that the things that he emphasized in the prayer. And against our judges, the judges by bringing upon us a great evil, for under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. He knew it was written in the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26. See? Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works, which he doeth, for we obey not his voice. If families, when they see the wrath of God move through their home, would get them before God and plead that. If individuals, when they see the wrath of God come into life, would get them and plead that. Half the time, the deliverance will be so quick. But people try to cough up their thing, they try to prop up themselves like Ahab when they die in the air, keep the image up and everything else, and then it's so bad before they just come out and plead for God's mercy. Say, Lord, you are righteous. You hit us even when we don't want to get hit. See? And they cry before God. That's why every scripture is given for doctrine, for instruction, for correction. We might be totally finished unto all the roots. Yes, he teaches us how to pray. John says, Jesus decided the Lord teaches the prayer. John taught his disciples to pray. Right in the Bible, you can see prayer that became the scripture. Man's prayer became the scripture. Now, O Lord, verse 15, our God, who hath brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are becoming reproach to all that are about it. Remember that the most holy people, most holy place, most holy city, most holy temple. City was in desolation, the temple was burned flat to the ground. People was in captivity. See? God's people. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. See? We're not asking you, Lord, you know, to remember your city that is burned down and your temple that is all in ruins and the people that are in captivity for our righteousness. Don't get comfort. No, but for your mercies. See? That when something is done, you can say, doesn't God love them people? Isn't that a great God? Surely there's no God that is understanding and caring to his people like that. And he has cast down that he might lift up. He has broken that he might heal. See? And that's why Daniel is saying. He says, Let be for your great mercies. Not for all righteousness. Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, oh my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Thy city, thy people, thy name. Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, hearken and do. And while I was praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel. See the intercessory prayer here. Intercession. And presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And I trust that while we're here praying, that angel will drop down and touch somebody. Amen. While I was praying to Jesus, somebody touched me. Amen. He touched me. Oh, the joy that filled my soul. Amen. Maybe just receive that this evening. And he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I'm now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee that thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. So that's his prayer, and that's Gabriel's response. And let's just take a couple of verses here. 10 and 11, in chapter 2, we read it last night. But I just want to take a different part of it tonight. So the purpose of prayer. But to keep in line with the same inspiration, Daniel and Revelation here, just taking the prayer aspect of it. Revelation 3, verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. Try them. Dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take that crown. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and have your seat. Well, you know, we don't want to go into preaching, but I just want to talk to you a little bit. And the whole purpose of having these services and the response of many of the people is that God has certainly touched many hearts and blessed many people already. And in a way of quickening the minds to the things that is taking place, you know, making them look in a certain direction, that to recognize the day. See, Brother Bram, to recognize the day and recognize your message. There's a message for the day. And that message reveals the day and reveals the thing that is to take place in that day. And we couldn't know what day it was, we couldn't know what was to take place, what to look for, how to carry out the word of God if the message didn't come to make that known to us. And that's why today we know our day. We are living the eighth day. We know our message. The voice of the archangel, the seventh seal of mystery, is a great thing that's happening right here. Upon the face of the earth. And more as the Holy Spirit gives us skill and understanding, help us consider the matter. I made a statement last night that God gave us this book of Daniel so that we could see and understand what is taking place in the last days. If we didn't have the book of Daniel, we wouldn't know how the beast is going to destroy wonderfully by peace, how he's going to come back flatly and take the kingdom, how he's going to divide the land for gain, how he's going to make crops to prosper, how we change laws and times. We wouldn't know none of these things. These will be happening all around us. We'll see them dividing the land. We'll see them changing times. We'll see them coming by peace in the ecumenical move. We'll see them moving to destroy the holy people. And we wouldn't even know that is signs that the bride is fixing to leave. But because God gave us that book, and the book of Daniel is really a dream and four visions. Chapter 2, give you the dream and the interpretation. Chapter 7, give you a vision. Chapter 8, give you another vision. Chapter 9, give you a vision. and chapter 10 to 12 give you the last vision. With one dream and four visions, and the dream and the visions are all in symbols. And it's because it's mysteries that is sealed up inside of the earth. God didn't intend to make it plain, and that even to the one who received them, he only understood in part, and he was told, seal it up, Daniel, it's not for your time. In other words, if I tell you it, you can't begin to conceive of it, because you're not going to be living in that day when the history is being made. See? And when the history is being made, then you will see the interpretation of it. Because all these waters represent people. This beast represents the kingdom. See? This little horn represents a certain man who's going to rise and do certain things. And so this is not going to come until later on. And that is why when these things really begin to come forth, when the book was opened, and you know, many of the reformers, they probed with it, and just like water baptism, God ahead, you know, what have you, hell, heaven, all these things, ministry, angels, spirit world, they was able to bring out great truth. But because the book was sealed, they still couldn't tie together. Because you see, prophecy cannot just be explained clearly unless the history is being made. And that is why it is not like something you sit back here, draw a chart, say so, no. And then the thing is not happening here. The manifestation is the interpretation. Daniel and John, they saw these things in symbol form. But we are seeing it in reality form. See, we are seeing it in reality form. When we look, we don't see how in the form that Daniel and John saw it in. We see the power in the earth here. They saw that same thing we look at in symbol form. See a woman on a scarlet colored beast, seven heads and ten horns. Then when the revelation comes to explain to us what that means. So then we go, oh, that's that city. Oh, that's her influence in the earth. That's her moving among the kings of the earth. Oh, that's her over here in trade and commerce. That's what she's doing here. See? Oh, then the ecumenical move here. And then we begin to see and understand clearly these things. And that is why it is so necessary for us to have a prophet. More and more, we realize the whole theatrical way of the bride was tied to receiving a prophet messenger. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. And that wasn't a man trying to explain the Bible. That was a man born to live in the realm of the supernatural. That's a man predestinated to be anointed with a certain anointing, to move up into the spiritual spheres by a gift that God gives him, to go past the human understanding and get in the realm of God and by a word of knowledge, bring down the thoughts of God and make it plain to the people. That's why I hear the prophet to make that when the seventh angel begin to sound, he will teach scripture different to the way the reformers and the ministers have taught the scriptures, and he'll be misunderstood for that. And then when the words are to come in the last days, there's a place out there, it is different to a lot of the theological interpretations that they had. But then the word come back, the word of God is of no private interpretation. So, we continue Daniel and Revelation for the tape, and I'm just taking a little talk tonight to stimulate your faith, the prevailing power of divine revelation. We use the word so many times, there's no prevailing power as the revelation of the word. That power makes you prevail over what? When you get revelation, you get prevailing power. And that power prevails over you and then make you to prevail over things. See? The gates of hell can't prevail over you. You can prevail over the gates of hell. And the gates of hell is right here in your own flesh. In the very center of your spirit. That is where Satan has access to. That's where he comes in and plucks out the spiritual eyesight and make people walk after the intellectual sense of things and not the sense of the Holy Spirit leading them. He make them see it in a way to human understanding, where they lean on their own understanding. But it was to lean not on your own understanding, but let this mind as in Christ be in you. Herein is to him that have wisdom. Not the one from above, that is sensual and devilish. But the wisdom that is from above. Christ has been made to us redemption, righteousness, and power, and wisdom. See, the Holy Spirit moving the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this is the age, you know, as we say, that the book of Revelation was the message of the prophet. We have the track. I think we're going to read tonight this one. This one was written in 1979. And from the message, it's some quotes in the little chart showing you that the very message of the prophet was the book of Revelation. That was his message. See? No man had the true revelation of the seven church ages until he came. No man had the ministry to open the seven seals until he came. That was his ministry. See? No man could identify themselves as one of them angels with one of those seven vials until he came. No man was told by God that they preach the seven trumpets until he came. See, you preach the supernatural and the song right here. So his whole life and ministry, he was the one that revealed to John who the great whore was. He was the one to reveal the future hope. He was the one to reveal the Lamb's wife. He was the one to measure the city. Bible said John bowed him to worship him. And he said, "Don't worship me. I am one of the brethren and the fellow servants, the prophets." So that angel was a prophet. And did you know it was when he was preaching the book of Revelation? Is when they tried to worship him? Look on Revelation chapter 4. The message called Brood Serpent. And he says, "See that you don't do it." He said, because John was transported into a future day. John was transported into the Lord's day. The day that John was transported into, when he saw the Lord, he was in a white wig. Well, for seven church ages, Jesus didn't have on a white wig. When he came, they come with a crown of thorns. When he come back in the book of Revelation 19 to reign on the earth, he has royal diadems. But between that crown of thorns and that crown of gold, between that time, he is wigged with a white wig. And he's not a priest during the seven church ages, so he wasn't in time of the seven church ages. He was one like the Son of Man in the Lord's day. And he was Son of God in the seven churches, Son of David in the millennium, and between the churches in the millennium is when he comes back like Son of Man, when Genesis 18 has been revealed. When the judge of all the earth is come. When the day like Sodom. Is that right? When the time of the investigation judgment. See how perfect that is? Look how perfect that is. The place, that ministry right there. And that's the time when John was transported into. He said, "Not the Lord's day is not 24 hour day was a future day, because it took John 2 years in the eyes of Patmos to see them vision." Is that right? So then he realized that it was that prophet who revealed the book to John. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify of these things in the churches." It wasn't going to be made known until seven church ages had run out. Then those seven thunders that filled up the book were going to utter their voices. And it had to be a prophet to receive it, because the word of God don't come to a theologian. "In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin the song, the mystery of God should be finished." If it's mysteries, If it's a ministry of God to be finished, then it would have to be, he said, it would have to be a prophet. Because it says, as he had declared to his servants the prophet. It was the prophets who wrote the Old Testament. It was the prophets who wrote the New Testament. And the word of God will come to the theologian. And we have promised a prophet here. Behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So here again, a prophet is promised. See? Place right in the Bible. What is the sign of a prophet? One who knows the secret of the heart. If it's a prophet, the word must come to him. That is why we find out it wasn't just a ministry of signs and wonders alone. It ought to attract the attention. There had to be a voice of the sign. And if that voice was an unscriptural voice, it would have been the same old denominational system. But we are promised a voice to turn the heart of the children back to the faith of the fathers. Then it means you have to bring back the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And friends, that is why the message we're trying to re-emphasize to you, re-wave to you, remind you, put in remembrance, keep your heart stirred about these things, is that you will know this message is more than just some good church ethics and some, you know, good principles to live by and keep yourself moral and so on. It is beyond that. It's a little higher than that.
Amen.
Amen. And here was Daniel, who's a great man. He said, but I found I understood by the books. You know, Daniel was in Babylon. 68 years had passed. And something drove him back to the writings of Jeremiah. So he took the parchments. The same Jeremiah we were reading. What do you think might have struck inside of there? Maybe it might have been the 29th chapter. After 70 years, when you see all the heart, I'll bring you back here again. He said, my goodness! Oh, fuck him! He said, well, 68 and 2 is 70. He told me about run out. Now, we don't have prevailing power to get you ready to come to the square line here of the revelation of the world. It's going to take revelation to bring it to healing. It's going to take the ability to get from here and walk here to come for prayer to be offered to you. But for you to come into healing, whether it's healing the body or the soul, whether to break the powers of oppression from your life, it's going to take faith. Your faith. If your faith is not enough, then we will stand to pray. If our faith is not enough, then we will have to get faith too. It's not like, well, I have faith and I'm sure you have faith, but the word says pray, so we're doing the best we have, maybe God might move. I don't think the bride in this age could approach God like that. We understand what healing is. You understand, faith must be to a certain level. We sort of give a discernment. Work. But we realize that never healed nobody. We only point the people back to a finished work. Then it is the people's attitude of approach. In approaching God's gift, in approaching the healing that is already finished on their behalf. And then the word comes to bring that faith, create the atmosphere around you. Anoint that faith. That you can move with that faith, because it's going to take your faith. It's going to be your confession. He's the high priest who stands here to intercede upon what you confess he is able to do for you. Yea, Lord, you are my healer. I accept it, Jesus. See, you get an attitude. I believe your word, Lord. It's impossible for you to lie. See? Because you kept the word of my patience, I will keep you in the hour of temptation, he says. Now watch. Look at this great thing here. I want to read to you something about Revelation. He said, we don't need a new Bible. We don't need a new translation. All we need is a fresh revelation. These services is to bring to you a fresh revelation. Make the word fresh all over again in your life. Where it seems to get a little dusty, where it seems that you take things for granted, where it seems like you get a little slothful, where it seems like you go along and, you know, you're not feeling the Spirit. You're not getting no dreams, no revelation, no experience with God. You're going to church, you're in backslide. Why? Because finally you conform to moral living. So you go to moral living as a drunkard go to drinking. As a curse bird go to cursing. As a thief go to thieving. You come to church, you do that too. See? But we realize that when the Word shows us the hour, when we see what is happening, when we see the latest of the hour, when we can understand the time, when we can see the signs of the time, when we can see how far advanced we are, when we can see these things moving, coming in, they're fulfilling their part. Then, like a prophet, I come back for a new burst of faith. I don't just want to say, I want to feel the faith here. I want to feel the commitment. Amen. Glory. I want to take what God says, man. I want to walk in it. I want to confess it. I don't want to sympathize. I want to say, yeah, that is true, but you shouldn't meet God a little different. No. On this message, revelation of Jesus Christ in the church is here. He says, the importance of revelation by the Spirit of a true believer can never be overemphasized. Revelation means more to you than perhaps you realize. Now, I'm not talking about the book of Revelation in you. I'm talking about all revelation. It is tremendously important to the church. Do you remember in Matthew 16? Where Jesus asked the disciples the question, whom do men say the Son of Man are? And they said, some said, God, John the Baptist, you know the stone? And Jesus answered and said to them, blessed art thou, Simon Bar Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He goes on, he explains. He says, see, flesh and blood hath not revealed, but my Father hath revealed. And upon his rock I'll build my church. The church is built upon revelation on the dust, saith the Lord. Amen. That's what it builds upon. Later on, here I want to take another portion. He's explaining about Jesus being God and so on. And he said, no man knows the things of God save the Spirit of God, and he to whom the Spirit of God reveals them. We need to call on God for revelation more than anything else in the world. We have accepted the Bible. We have accepted the great truths of it. But it is still not real to most people. Because the revelation by the Spirit is not real. No, that's what is happening, friend. When you talk the word, like we still here talk this word. I'm going to say, yeah, but you had a good service about, you know, yeah, I was not going to read my notes on that last night. When I did the chat, but really inspired me about certain things, you know, and I took up the marker and I mark off a few things. Oh, sure, that's good. But what's something? When you see, you show people the hour, you show them the sign, you show them the word. And these things have been traced in the scripture. The modern is tied to the Bible, tied to the prophet's word. And then a person just go back along the same old way. Even though they're not denying what you're saying, they're accepting what you say. And if your preacher says more meetings next week, they come again. But the revelation of the Spirit is not here. What is the difference when the revelation of the Spirit is there? Power is there. Conviction is there. Commitment is there. Confession is there. I'm not talking about confession is not a sin. Confessing the truth. Confessing the word. Amen. Testifying of it. Amen. Going out to act it and see it become a reality. Hear what he says. He said, we accept the Bible. We accept the great truths of it. But it's still not real to most people. Because the revelation by the Spirit is not yet. Remember the things we are pointing out and have been pointing out to you. That is not happening today, you know. That has happened for the last 15, 20 years, you know. Then how come you have all this revelation all the time and you walk around and you're sinning? Do you realize how much mercy of God that is? When God comes to shake people, you see? Think of it, you know. Because that is where a believer is supposed to be watching. Now we're watching Daniel here. Daniel was a statesman. Daniel said, along your hand, everything made. Daniel talked to Nebuchadnezzar, the king. Daniel walked over here. Daniel in charge of the whole province. Think of it. But from since chapter 2, when he was a little boy, now, if 68 years had passed, it means he was already 68 years older than when he went down there. So he was about 20 years or 20 when he went down there. He was about 78 years old almost. But look at the boy's brain when he was about 20 years. In the second year, he was looking at someone to get a dream. And then 68 years after the when the captivity started. And here's a man still praying. Amen. Here's a man confessing 68 years after. The nice life in Babylon didn't make him forget the promise of God. All the friends and the celebrity, the dainty foods, the nice bar air they had, and people and company were living the papers and everything else. Oh, Daniel. Oh, you should have been man. Oh, Daniel. He didn't live in that. He said, God, your temple. God, your people. God, your name. What's the kind of life that brings on angels? Associates to the unseen world. Candidates to the supernatural. What kind of life that breaks in the presence of God and says, thou art greatly beloved? Think of it. He didn't have great revelations. You know, prayer. He had conviction. He had a desire to see God being glorified. He says, God be made known. He said, let me a blessed God. I come here. The Lord will suffer, but I make it. He said, God will save. Hear the man say, Lord will save. Lord, your temple. Lord, your city. In ruins. Let us have to get a little blessing. Let us have to burn every little conviction out of you. Treat your wife a certain way, treat this one a certain way, treat church, treat people a certain way. God from your chest, what more pray for you? Abuse me. You don't need 37 cents, really. Is that the value by now? So, all nothing for God. Not impress of people who are in Revelation. But people have revelation, they look at them and they have pity for your soul. Think of it, friends. The world had not been quitting. See, it's not really the most people, because the revelation by the Spirit is not yet. The world had not been quitting. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, that we have become the righteousness of God by our union with Jesus Christ. He said, did you get it? It says that we are the very righteousness of God Himself by being in Christ. If we accept that fact, then you must, that He literally became sin for you. Catch this as you come to be prayed for. If you can accept that fact, that Jesus literally became sin. You know the prophet says, if there's a literal seed of the serpent, there'll be a literal seed of God. Especially the woman seed will be the serpent seed. He says, so the woman seed can't be a spiritual seed. Because the serpent seed is a literal seed, the woman seed can be a literal seed. Well, then if Jesus literally became sin, then there must be a people that become literal righteous of God. Otherwise, have no value of saying he literally became sin. And God is not using flawless speech. God is not just trying to use an allegory, but he don't really mean that really, just like an illustration or a parable or something. No. If he literally became that, there is a people who God, because you see, if God said, these are the people I die for, and then they don't have the confidence to ask God to see this, then who is going to have the confidence? Then if God will give them the confidence, then God defeats his purpose by doing what he did. Because he hasn't gotten an achievement out of it. You understand that? That is faith, the simple thing. Faith is not complicated. Faith is saying, oh God, look what you made me in your sight. Look how secure you make it. That I don't have to kind of use all my feelings and reason. I can just take it on the basis of your word. See? Notice? It doesn't say he became sinful, but became sin for us. That by our union with him, we might have become the righteousness of God. If we accept the fact that he literally became sin for us by his substitution for us, then we must also accept the fact that we, by our union with him, have become the very righteousness of God. How many accept the fact he became sin for them? Then you have to accept by the same principle that by your union with him. But remember, it is by your union with him you can make the claim he became sin for you. So when you did that, you actually confessed a union with him. There's a lot of people going to walk into healing tonight. Sure. If your faith just moves you into a scared year, that is what does it. If what you did there is not through emotion, a minister standing on the platform here, blasting the word out, and you can't effect it in front of your hand here. But you listen to that word, and that word fall into a heart of faith, and that faith pushed the heart up in the air. That does it. That kind of faith does it. Some of you may not even have to come in this line. With that kind of faith, you don't even need to come in this line. Amen. Glory. Get in the atmosphere is real tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. We're in the presence of God. Not the service. Oh yeah, we have to keep a little order there. So we don't get confusion. But in the presence of God. Hallelujah. The God word is going forth. God people is gathered. God presence is here. Demon power can't come over here and do what they want. Because God word put an anointed people, amen, to give them discernment. Have the senses exercised. They know what is right and what is wrong. Glory. To reject one is to reject the other. You accept the one. To accept one is to accept the other. Now we know the Bible says that it can't be denied. The Bible says that it can't be denied. Glory. But the revelation of it is missing. It is not real to the majority of God's children. He is it to the world, you know. God's children. He said, the revelation is critical. What am I talking about? Prevailing power. No prevailing power of the revelation. The word that went for the first time, went for the last time. But what is this? It is the revealed truth that came to the mouth of a prophet that ministered those things by angels. That was to fulfill a promise in the Bible in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. And that message to tell the half of the children back to the fathers. But God said, I will restore. So he's fulfilling a promise, he's doing his work. And we are considering it. We are including it. Hallelujah. He said, we know the Bible says that it can't be denied. But the revelation of it is missing. It's not real. He's showing you why we need to pray for revelation. He said, look what Jesus became for you. Look what your identification, your union with him put you in. Look, when you stand there by revelation, all that he says concerning you and all he has given to you is yours. It works there. You see, but if you confessing that, and then you're still wondering about this, and wondering about that, and I ain't know about this, and you're going through this here. Though you believe in the word, because you learn to believe the Bible is right. It's not the Quran. It's not the Ramayana. It's not some Confucius book. So say, yeah, the Bible right. As far as that God's word. But you ain't believing it in the sense that what it says about me. Because when the Spirit is dealing it, it's not just saying right. It's right, it's yours, you can have it, you're supposed to use it. If you're in need of it, don't let them stop you from claiming it and enjoying it, because that's his achievement, to bring it to you and make it secure. He's not talking about, you know, it could be so, it might be so. He's not talking about that. All that the Father gives you. He said, you used to ask anything in my name. If you ask for a fish, I will not give you a stone. What you ask for, make it specific. Fish, bread, egg. Is that what he said? In other words, just specify what you want. Don't say, Lord, you know my situation. No. If you say about bread, you're getting bread, not stone. It's about listening to the request. I'm going to minister to you. You're getting exactly what you asked for. Hallelujah! Glory! Something we are afraid to do that. When we are afraid to do that, we are saying, God can't keep his word. We are saying, God is not that generous. God didn't make it that secure. God don't really mean that. That's what we're doing. But when you make it specific, every time you make it a little more specific, like the man says, it's midnight. You just a friend here. The man dying. I want 3 loaves. I want it right now. I ain't going nowhere until I get that. He was becoming more specific. Look at Daniel. He said, I pray, Lord. He just started to read the books. He said, I know Jeremiah is a prophet. He had thus said the Lord. I know when he was born, before he was in his mother's womb, Lord, you made him a prophet. Even when he didn't want to go, he said, Lord, who believed me? He said, you go there. I called you for that. I'm going to make your words fire. I'm going to make your word. You're going to suffer many things, but I'll be with you. See? He said, Lord, I know that. The man spoke. I see what happened. He man said, the land of the ticket. He says, the king of Israel is going to look straight in the eyes of the king of Babylon. They turned in prison for it. And yet the king of Babylon came, put the siege around the city. He says, I know the prophet was true. And if you should be going back 70 years, then Lord, here I am. The very fact I pray, and the very fact I pray in that channel, Lord, I'm expressing faith in what the prophet said. I'm just trying to pray general, like I'm talking to God, but I ain't sure the prophet to write. Lord, your prophet fulfilled the Bible. He was sent to do those things. He called me out by that message. Hallelujah! He has thus said the Lord. He said it the time. When he spoke, he said, I tell the truth, let God come behind. Lord, you came behind. We hear it on tape. We see it on film. Glory! So we know it has to come to pass. But do you know something? It was God giving man place to stand on. God deal with them that way. He ended up even with the books of the prophet. Aren't you glad that we have them too? Where did his power, all that prayer, bring an angel? What do you find in the prophet's words? He wasn't reading what Isaiah says. No, not saying Isaiah has it wrong. But what I'm saying is, he was reading the prophet in his day. Under his prophet's prophecy, they went out and captivity. He knew that the prophet of my generation. That our prophet here. He had thus said the Lord. He gave prophecy about restoration. He gave prophecy about coming back again at a certain time. Is that right?
Amen.
Oh my. But remember, that was God's love when he sent a prophet. God so loved that he gave. God gave gifts unto men. He gave apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors. Is that right? And God loved his church. Give them men who would stay with the word, who would speak the word. Give Israel Solomon. Because he says, because he loved them. Some in the church didn't realize the love God had for them. They're looking for some motor car, looking for some house, and God gave them a man who have thus said the Lord. And they're not seeing that. And that is God's love in the Bible for them. God, people need to be educated in God's ways, not to relate to God. Look at Daniel say, we didn't obey the prophet's love. That's what we don't hear. Man walk out the bush, smelling a certain way. Then he take a bath. He talk rough. He punch straight at him. And he got put something like that. He embarrassed me the whole service. See? But Daniel, get down there in the corner and say, Lord, your power is too weak. Because we didn't listen to the prophets. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall a preacher except be sent? Wait, to do the works of God, believe in them whom God has sent. I'm not trying to establish my position. I don't need that to establish my position. God already speak to me already. Yes, it is. All you have to know is, if I'm on the wood, I'm off the wood. Look, I don't try to force myself on me. You can't force myself on nobody. I don't have nobody house knocking the door, trying to sit behind the gimmick. No. I got my gun in the wilderness. God for me to preach here. If you think I have the truth and you want to hear the truth, you come and hear it, isn't it? I'm not thinking what I can receive from you. I'm saying I have a whole lot to give to you. Sure. But when God sent me the preach, he didn't tell me, I'll have a look for certain people. I said, Lord, as a little boy in France, one day walking out from a service. And the call I got in my life, I said, Lord, I'll take care of business and take care of mine. I don't know what to do, where to go, how to kill. I don't know nothing. You think it was easy to depend on him, don't do this? Can't be long the distance. See? I'm going to put no plan in place of. And those who know me and those who have been around me, you know, I'll give my life to this. That's why sometimes, you know, you should look up to check you out and they want to check you out and the way you out and different things. God has sent people to weigh me out. God like a lamp and put on a lampstand, give light to them in the house and to them who come in. You haven't heard lies through this mouth long 3 years. You haven't heard unclean spirits. You haven't pointed in the world and point you here and mess you up here and mess up your mind here and mess you up here. And no. You have heard truth and truth and truth. Amen. Listen, 1979, 17 years ago.
Still seems the same thing. Is right there? And who can deny the truth? People that wake up years after and say, but that's the truth. Is it? See? He testified. Then God can go for a reason honest. You know one man business. God's a reason honest. Right here in the ministry reason. Begin to open the eyes to see. You know why? God has a people here. Politically, religiously, socially, financially, this island has no future. Spiritually, it has potential. The only thing here is this spiritual potential. Because what the world is offering here is God's word. What they're offering outside here is just false promises nobody can keep. Already sold and gone. Is it where you want to believe? Is it where you want to put your faith? Here we look at the healer tonight. I'm not saying I'm a healer. I'm trying to tell you, God has made that thing secure. I'm saying God's presence is here. I'm saying God can take His word and anoint it and drive fear and unbelief away from you and create an atmosphere and lift you from that place and you walk in here with faith. Amen. And the Holy Ghost meet you there and confirm your faith. He reacts to your faith. When Jesus lifted His eyes and saw your faith, He said, I have faith that saved you. Just bring the man down to you. He looked back and he saw their faith. How did he see their faith? The works. The attitude of approach was expressing the faith. Is that right? Oh my. Just love the Holy Spirit here. Let's just get ready to pray now. Just change it off here. Bring it up right here. Tonight is a special night for me. All this day, all your special for me. And you who don't know that dove, that's the white dove came from Argentina. Took you over 15, 20 minutes and then moved. After you preach and preach and preach and preach about it. For many who don't understand, 1979. And then 1988. Show us a revelation falling in 1988. Our eyes will make us your own prophecy. Where did we know about unknown language and second cycle and these things? A snow white dove. With all of Jesus' mouth, came at evening time and began to minister to those who had obeyed the voice of the prophet. Hundreds and hundreds of songs went the road. A rainbow covenanted one with a Joshua commission testified she has turned at the west with the authority for her ministry and bridal prophecy is becoming history. You got to do all and make it wrong in the end? It will never be. Stand back over and over. I know it's going to go after money, it's going after women, it's going after popularity. It don't go after at all. But stand the word full. The full word for the full man. You know why? This is an evil age. This is a seducing age. Evil men shall be seducers, deceiving and being deceived. There's no point in no man, no point in no city, no point in no church. You have a point of man, city, and church? You're supposed to rise and say, no way. Pointing to Jesus Christ. No point is no. Do I preach? I don't point to myself at all. Never. This work is not built on me. If something happens to me, this work go on. Sure. That is why I hear the first person in the whole country. people that are raised up in the ministry and getting the problem and going to preach. So I mean, this church fight against somebody else to preach, this church fight against somebody else to preach, this church fight against somebody else to preach. We will scare competition. See? We will scare other people. I'll preach them, I'll do them, I'll do this, I'll do that. Carnality. Amen. The pillar of fire. When you mean the pillar of fire, burn them things out for you. From a prison of Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Did you little part of Daniel something to say, Brother Bram? Taking this first message here and give instructions to Daniel. And you know, as I tell you last night, I hope you catch that being spiritual church, that you go back and you read Daniel and say it's been reprinted and redistributed. It's put back there. Why? So that the church can be made ready. Those are the prophetic things. This is a prophetic message. We can preach a lot of nice messages about behavior and conduct and different things and do this and do that and keep the church nice and have little programs and so on. But when you come into prophecy, what is the attraction? Prophecy becoming history. What is the secret of the message? To do the Father's business. What is to do the Father's business? To fulfill the word. What is the difference between the bride and the church? See, the bride, Hebrews 13, the church, Matthew 24:24, spirit of man on yourself. Still on that reformer anointing, reasoning with the world, injecting the ideas, trying to figure out things. But over here in the bride, it's a prophetic anointing. Eagle prophet. See, the fourth beast is eagle all the way from. No more beast after that. Gentile prophet to the Gentile, Jewish prophet to the Jewish people. And between there, where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. That's why this book, he says, is only for a special class of people. Lord, look at the effects and the influence when the revelation opened in. This is my talk. Prevailing power behind the revelation. That is why many lives are not anointed. You see many believers, but you don't see many anointed people. You see many sincere people, but you don't see many anointed people. Anointed people mean under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has endued them. When they speak, they have utterance from the Holy Spirit. When they see, they have anointed vision that have discernment. When they look at things, the senses exercise to discern. They can try spirits and know whether they are God or not. Sure. That is what is lacking in people's lives. But that's the evidence of spiritual life. He said, the inside teacher will teach you. Outside teacher talking about this here. Inside your show, that connect with this, connect with this, connect with this, connect. And you went through that yesterday, and look last week, and look how it tied together. These of you sitting on getting all that flashing, bring back things to remembrance, teach you what's going on, show things to come. And the outside teacher, maybe just touch on something, just use a quote here and something here, and go on. And the inside teacher take that and take you away in the spirit. Because you're hearing by the spirit. You're killing God in your knowledge. You know, your people in this age, they hear the word preached over and over, and you go outside after them and say, start talking the word. And you like, didn't get half of that? What's the cause of that? Lack of anointing. See, anointing is not the feeling the building, you know. I'm talking about anointing in the sense of the Holy Ghost. Samuel poked a horn of oil on David, and from that time was the Spirit of the Lord was in him. That's what I'm talking about. Give you courage, give you boldness. Make another conduct, prudent in matters. Behave wisely in all his ways. Not to represent God. Not to reflect the light. God, all in your steps.
Know how to speak and when to keep your tongue still. Holy Ghost in operation. Not so much in manifestation, but in action. And when it's time for manifestation, watch faith come out and create an atmosphere and anoint the man and put him out in the sphere. Ask God to anoint you tonight, many of you. Ask God the Holy Ghost. Charge you. Electrify your soul. Don't say, well, I think I have the Holy Ghost by faith, you know. After all, I must have it because I really do nothing wrong. I ain't living in sin. And at this age, you know, I get tempted and I still stand in life. I feel I have to have it. Don't use psychology in yourself. Don't lie to yourself neither. When you see, now remember, faith for healing and all these things is a little different. When I say it's a little different, like a prophet, I tell you, after he had him 5 manifestations, he still put all the different things, 4 manifestations, come to the last one. He said, honey, I don't think we have enough faith. Go and take the operation. And this, the man just preached perfect faith a few months ago. And give testimony of how when he speaks good, it's more powerful than when Joshua is coming from. And then come on and tell his wife, I want to give permission. We have enough faith. See? It's not mind over matter. It has certain things. You're waiting for inspiration. Because you don't know the will of God. It's not clear. But you want to come out of the condition. I know God can take you out. I know God will fit to be out. But sometimes he holds you in a certain place and then he teaches you that faith suffers for God as well. Faith don't just want to jump out to evade situations or escape pain. This is an age where people are so prone to pain that they don't escape pain. So you get a headache, you have a headache. You have a toothache, you get a toothache. You have a backache, you get something wrong with the backache. You get every ache you have, the druggist and the pharmacist have something they manufacture because nobody don't want pain. So the whole psychology of the generation is people don't want pain. And pain is part of the building process. You have read of the patience of Job because you have kept the word of my patience. After patience have done its perfect work, you might be entire, lacking nothing. You might curse many a day that you're born, many a time. You might curse many a condition that seems that you're responsible for you being in a certain circumstance. You might have wished many a time your life was different. Only because you don't have a clear revelation at that moment why you're going through that. What is your purpose you're going through that? What is God taught about it? Where does this fit in the Bible, Lord? But sometimes, before you get that, if you get the wrong attitude, instead of blame other people, instead of say, God, you don't like me, then you shut yourself up. Then when you lack understanding, like Job, can't get no inspiration, people are accusing you, then you still stand there. And you wait, knowing that you don't want to sin with your lips. Thoughts may come all to your mind, but you want to hold a still tongue. You know men can control sheep and can't control that tongue. You want to hold that tongue right. Amen. Why? Because you understand, see? And that's why it's when a man comes into a certain place with God, and God deals with him, and he learns God's ways. He coming to things. God give them strength to carry things. Could you imagine God tell Paul, you have many things that suffer for my name's sake, and the man is going to walk with God yet? You imagine how nervous you could get every day as an accent went to place. Is this more suffering, boy? Something going to happen here. You mean say, God really tell me that time. You say, look, I'm going to do more things again, boy? No. After a while, he's going to pray. God said, Lord, let me know in the fellowship of your suffering. Since you say that, and I begin to understand you and your love, and I begin to see your ways ahead and my ways.
And first I had the kind of evasive technique. Take over this, Lord. Take over this. Take over this. And just shut your mouth. See? I've been a teacher. My strength is made of the weakness. I always bring things. I don't want to show people that you're powerful alone. I want to show people that even under hardship and testing, I want to show the torture and the acts of deliverance. The beaten and the rejoice. See? Then come again and say, we go sue them. We go to court. Wrongful arrest. See? Go by a lawyer. We lawyers say, lawyers have a good case. You get sucked right in. Because you like, might have some gain in it. Because you ain't seen predestination God passing here. You're thinking people responsible for things in your life. Nobody responsible for nothing in your life. Your faith in build to replace it. Lack of anointing in your life. See? Where your soul breaks into a place where you have peace. Peace in the revelation that God gives you. Peace in the midst of the storm. Peace that calms your fears, drives your doubts away. See? Now quickly as we get ready to come. But the effects and the influence upon his life when the revelation opened to him. When that mighty angel came from heaven and began to thunder forth. And the thoughts of the back part of God's mind begin to unfold to him. We have had something like that in this day. And when that opened up to us, it produced an influence in our life. Look at Rebecca, say, I will go. Look at Elisha, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I will not leave nor forsake thee. Look at Ruth. Entreat me not to leave thee. Where thou goest, where your people shall be my people, your God shall be my God. When revelation opens to you, it has an impact, has an influence, it prevails over you. Look at Moses. By faith, he chose rather than suffer affliction. He had the two choices. And he made that choice as well. But it's the same thing, but when things going good for me, I'll give it up. No. By faith. The Bible didn't say by faith Moses poke flies into existence. No. It didn't say by faith he opened the Red Sea. No. It didn't say by faith, you know, he come up the mountain and his face was shining with the glory of God. It didn't say that. When God wanted to bring out faith in Moses' life, God see all that and bypass all that. And God went to the choice Moses made. Overcoming faith, overcoming prosperity, overcoming the glory that man could give you. He esteemed, he considered, he regarded, he weighed it too. And faith in Moses, seeing Egypt, when it become atomic ashes, he'll still be in the presence of that God who has been out with him. Why can't I put in the Bible and tell about Egyptian history? That is putting the Bible there when we come to this age. When we come to the Exodus again. When there are people of the same caliber like Moses. Revelation opened up on his life and raised more to the humanistic realm. Because that whole natural life was the humanistic realm. When he raised up in this realm, he began to see, I wasn't born to really be a prime minister in Egypt. I was born to be a prophet to lead the people out of bondage. And faith make him take his place. And in taking that place, he had to abase himself. But it was faith. It was by faith. It wasn't, well, he had no other choice and circumstances. And No. Before he ended up there, he ain't wait until this fall apart and then say, well, Lord, I'm sending the call now. I realize you're trying to give me a long time, but I make up my mind now, because why?
this fall through, that fall through, and after they give me 6 months until I see what I can do with this. And if that thing happens, Lord, then I'll come and answer the call. That is a fake one. God can't. People like that don't get nowhere with God. The furthest they reach is a bench in the church. That is the climax of the Christianity. They come and sit in a bench and hear preaching. The life will go beyond that. But when people's lives move into a place with God, what the Spirit should know with? What's God present in the come? What's God begin to take them into the world and begin to reveal secret things? Watch where God begin to do with them afterwards. When they put their hand in sick, they begin to get healed. See, when we speak to people, they take chains off of them. They begin to see God sort of operate through their own lives. And they know that God is real, not by reading or seeing other people, by seeing their own self. Great is He that is in you. That's what it does to a man. Don't you desire that? That's reality. Isn't that what the prophet brought? He tells us God so great in Moses, God so great in Elijah, God so great in Joshua, God so great. And leave us here? He said he's the same. You know what he said? He's serving his own life. Prove he's the same. In that day, you know I, you. He said that was this thing. And he preached, he that is in you. Is that right? First, I said, well, he's a great prophet. Notice, say, I'm opening the way to shine the light for you to walk in here too. When you wear the mantle of us, you say you want that spirit. That's the life we want. That's what we call for. We are part of the same material. Don't think it shame to be equal with Elijah. Don't think it robbery to be equal with Elijah. Don't think it robbery or you can't walk there with God. That is why he was sent. Let my stumbling blocks be a stepping stone for you too. He said, Lord, help me to speak the word and make the trail clear that they will know how to walk in that hour. Glory! Jeremiah took the word here, the prophet, and Daniel 70 weeks here, he is in the first part of it, and he was opening this part of Daniel getting the revelation. When it opened to him, and the influence it had upon his life, and the realm it pushed him out into, when it struck him in that hour. Because God knew that revelation was needed. You get that? God see the church need certain things. When Daniel saw the first four kingdoms in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, head of gold, shell of silver, thighs of brass, legs of iron, toes of iron clay, he saw it. When he spoke there the first time, that's all he knew of the kingdoms. But then God knew he needed to know who the chest of silver was. He didn't know who the chest of silver was. He knew who the head of gold was, and he knew in the last days the God of heaven would celebrate his kingdom. He didn't know who the chest of silver was, he didn't know who the tie of brass was, he didn't know who the leg of iron was. Then God came and gave him the vision of the four beasts come out of the water. And he began to see. At the end of them, for the ancient, the days come. Just like the stone carved hands come at the end of the first four. And you know they're compatible. He begin to understand God was showing the outward glory of the kingdom. Like I said, when you go in a city, you see the parks, you see the museum, you see the buildings, you see the shopping centers, you see the nice paved streets, you see the architecture. What do you do? You see the banks. See, what are you doing? You are seeing the glory of the city. But behind that there's a spirit. So Nebuchadnezzar, you see the head of gold and the chest of silver, there's only seen the outward glory that man sees. But then behind that, God sort of showed Daniel the same kingdom as beasts, ravenous, wild, devouring beasts. And he began to understand something.
Come here, you see a woman. Balaam saw in the vision. Beautiful. Well decked with jewels and things in purple. And she's struggling in America. You see, but she was wicked in her heart. And she will guide that nation to its destruction. Beautiful on the outside. See? You watch a woman sometimes, boy, like the woman coming from Sweden, going to Bago, the airport, and she picking and going in the sun and taking her tan, and all them beach bums, they watch around here, and not knowing, but there's a walking bomb there, an AIDS bomb. Back then, she leave a lot in the graveyard and went back out there. They realized what that body looked a certain way, but with a demon of hell inside of there. When she left the place and prayed, she says, I'll leave here, graveyard! And all the dumb ox who went down to the slaughter and down to the pit. See? Look at them, thought it was so beautiful on the outside. But they had only seen the outward glory. They had only seen the outward glory. Don't judge by the outward appearance. God taught a prophet that lesson. To Samuel, he said, God is on the heart. God is on the heart tonight. God is going to your faith is centered tonight. God is going to see if you respect him, to give him reverence, to give him the right title, you have the right attitude, you have the right approach as you come. And God knows that, yes, that's my child, I believe in my word. The lips might just move softly. Eli's might look around at you and say, you're drunk. You're going to be, can't get nothing. But God knows down their heart, there's a crave. There's a spiritual crave. There's something from God that you want. That you're longing for, you can't on the inside, groaning and travailing, in pain, waiting to be delivered. That you might enter into the glorious liberty. No more entangled in the yoke of bondage. The baptism of fire could shoot down here tonight and just whirl right through you. The angel of God could pass through you, walk right through your body like that, obliterate your own sickness. Sure. Walk right to that place, lift your faith to a place tonight as you come to here. And he knows he lift that faith to a spot, make the right confession, and you're driving home in your car. Or you're taking breakfast in the morning by a table. Or you're in your house, open your Bible and read the word of the Lord. You know, the good service last night. And Lord, I'm so thankful and again, ready to go to service this morning. And Lord, you know, I believe I received it last night, Lord. And you can feel it, body electrifying all over. Like you did to them people. Prophet said, next day, he's going all through the neighborhood. He remembered every one of them in the prayer line. Going all through the neighborhood. Same God tonight. Same wonderful God. That's what I'm talking about. This one who has come down on this day, friend. This one who come right on these meetings here. This one who opened up all this vision here. The battle, the minds of people. Many of them laugh in the beginning. Who do you think you think he's some teacher or something here? Criticize. Laugh. You don't feel like the seven times. You don't feel like this. You feel like this. Since this was put up 1979, they changed the doctrine 6-7 times already. See, they changed up the system down to the right. They never come in at the right angle. There's a way to come into it. And the way to come in, only that dove could lead. It wasn't man, but man had ambition. Man wanted to be leaders. Man wanted to be powerful speakers. Man wanted to have control and influence. Man wanted to be known as the man after the prophet. See? Ambition. But watch. God in simplicity. God in simplicity. When you have mighty gentle warriors in that need to, when in that book while Bethlehem, and pick that thing up there. It was men who was anointed with the king's desire to put their very own life in jeopardy. To serve the king. Come all the way back, unprofitable servant. We're going to be on top of the city. Have to glorify Jesus Christ. Not promote man, not to promote church. People are going to promote the church, promote the movement, promote themselves, tell the stories. When the Holy Spirit comes, and he was seen of me also. And he was seen with me also. Why? Because this is the age of personal vindication. Pregnated sons and daughters of God, bearing his life, bearing his signs, bearing his wonders. Signs of a spiritual person, his name is sealed in the forehead. We take the mark, friend. We already take the mark. The beast can't mark us no more. There's another one marked. There's one greater than the beast marked. The lamb already marked us. I am marked. Amen. Hallelujah. He put a seal of ownership on me. He burned it into me. I squeal and holler and run and jump. But in the end I know who I belong to. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He purchased me with his own blood. And that's why I know tonight is sure. Healing is sure. For all is given faith. Faith is more powerful than fear any day. Love is more powerful than hate any day. God wants to heal you tonight. This very night, under the window of Snow White Down, Gabriel come down and something was in his mouth, speaking to Daniel. And Daniel is there in prayer. And Gabriel began to speak a sixfold purpose for Daniel. A sixfold purpose that we have come through, friend. Right now, the Most Holy is anointed. You know that?
Yeah.
He bring us, put us in a sin, take away all our iniquity, bring us into everlasting righteousness, all these things. You don't have it right now? The righteousness you have could finish right now? If it's self-righteousness, it doesn't bankrupt. But if you have righteousness, you'll be made the righteousness of God by being in Christ. Bring in the sin when it blasts that old nature away from you and make you partakers of his own divine nature. Isn't that right? When it come up on a second cycle. But he showed who his tabernacle was. He stepped into his masterpiece. The tabernacle of God is with men, the living tabernacle of the living God. A body has God prepared. When that dove came down, what was the prophet's message? I was thinking about it today. The prophet's message was, I'm talking about John the Baptist. God had a body prepared on the earth. And he was going to see God come down and dwell that body. And God was going to come in the form of a dove. And God and man was going to come into union and become a super sign. That was John's message. Body that God had prepared, and lo, I come in the volume of the book. And then he came down to Jordan, because that's where the dove meets you. When you come to the end of yourself, when you come to the end of yourself, you think you come to the end of yourself tonight? And the dove came down, and John saw it. He preached and preached and preached, looking for that dove to confirm his message. If that dove didn't appear, he had to keep on preaching. But when he saw that dove, he said, I must preach. Brother Abraham knew the dynamic was going to be a return of the Holy Ghost in his church. He knew that capstone was going to come on the cap of the pyramids of our lives. He looked for a super church. He planted for that. He knew that God was going to bring a people out of organization like out of Egypt and bring them down to a place where God himself, like in Joshua, came down to be the head over Israel, the body. And so here, John, looking at right there and seeing it. Look at Brother Brown from that third point when he comes to Jordan. He said, something came over me. A huge portion of heaven awaited him. Where? At the Jordan. He's coming down to it. And when it came over him, and the mamba comes, He said, you can bind your wolves or any of them. He said, let me try out this thing. I bind you. I loose you. Bind you again. Why? He didn't have that back in the wilderness. He didn't have that anymore in Egypt. But down here, friend, God and man became one. He said, I'm going to enter my secret closet and close the door behind me. Have a feast with God, like Daniel. He said, Lord, break to us those seals on the backside. And get entered into this huge portal, enter into a place, into a revelation, into a positioning. And then you know what happened? Next thing, dreams had come. Just like an Indian chief put at the head of the table, different things were. He entered into a placing in the economy of God for this age. He said, Brother Bram, when you spoke, it's like you were so certain. Pillar of fire took you westward. When it brought you back and put you at the head table, it's wiped all over and you command it. You're coming to something, friends. Saints, all of us who believe it are walking in here. All of us who believe it. I don't know how, but I know everyone that believes it. All that sail with you in this ship. When I interrupted Paul in the boat, he said, no man here, life shall be lost. All that is with you in this ship. They're going to kill him. He said, no! The angel said, all that sail with me here in the ship is going. Let me tell you. Believe me tonight to be a servant of God. Believe me tonight to be speaking the truth in love. Believe me tonight that I have no lying spirit. I have no forked tongue. I'm not unclean spirit in my mouth. I'm speaking thus saith the Lord. If you get the people to believe you, nothing could stand before you. You ought to put faith. You see, you have to judge me. And when you judge me, then you can know if I'm of God or not. And I have to judge you to know if you are of God or not. I know I judge you when I preach the word and you can't say amen to it. I judge you. And then you slung the other, hear her, and you judge me, hear what comes out of my mouth. And when you see me, if I preach some false thing, you know, goodbye. But if you know that's the word, then God says, my sheep hear my voice. Is that right? That's what it is. You judge what you're under, and I have to judge what I preach into. Because Paul said, God didn't call me to be a feeder of chickens. Sure. I ain't no feeder of no chickens. They're going to kill chickens. Chickens are put them in cage and take them to the market. But if these eagles are training to fly, mama will bust up the nest, put them on the wing, take them up in the sky, shake them off. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. You ready to walk into some healing tonight? Healing is the children's bread. Isn't that like, oh God, I want to go be healed. I think God wants to be healed. This is for us. It belongs to us. If all this revelation belongs to us, how much more healing? That's the minor. That's the minor, friend. And the only reason we have this little healing service here is because I believe a lot of God's children is suffering, and I said, Lord, what a good day to wave back something to bring faith. When that dove came down, and the prophet said, though I have suffered for many a year, I cried for healing both night and day. But faith wasn't forgotten by the Father above. God gave me a sign. September the 21st, he said, that day I was led by the Holy Ghost, full of different. He said, I was so hot. I was sweating. He said, I took my shirt off down to my waist. Bare back. Sweating. Running down.
up in the mountain being sunburned.
And God said, I can't come down there. Put on your tie and your jacket.
God, come down. Amen. The judge is sinner. And here he said, me, an old man. God, hear me. I've got to bring a message. I'll ride this trail once more. Catch this.
When Jesus suffered, it had an achievement for the whole world. When the prophet suffered, they also had an achievement. People could understand how the man for 42 years, how he gets vision saying 6 inches long, how he sees dove and then die in 3 months.
Was he right? Was he wrong? Did he get mixed up?
When he got healed, he tied that healing. That dove was a sign of being made whole. Total deliverance. There's a ministry. That dove was tied to a ministry. What was the ministry? Arise, this tree once more. He saw there was a ministry to come after the shout. He saw the voice was a part, another fold of him doing all three things. And he knew he had done the first fold. But he knew that this fold was going to take place before the resurrection. What's the message that follow on doing further? Anybody know? The rapture. Rapture first time in his ministry. He goes to 1 Thessalonians 4. And reveals what it is. For the 3 years, Revelation 21:7, Revelation 21:7, Revelation 21:7, never fully set to learn from. Then, on the rapture, about after rapture, was out of the modern event, leadership, communion, and he went home. Threefold secrets why heaven is silent, the coming of the Lord. He's sitting there and bullet can do great damage. But now he's stopped. When he speaks it out, he shows the voice of the archangel brings the resurrection. And that takes place when Jesus was publicly crucified. He cried a loud voice. And the Old Testament saints awoke. Matthew 24, you open the seals. Matthew 27, he publicly crucified. What shall I do with Jesus for Christ? He said, the world is rejected, but the public crucifixion coming. And when that time comes, watch the people then. He said, there's a message coming forth. Father, I pray you will let the dove leave. He saw it and died. You know why? When Jesus suffered and died, his suffering was, there's a glory to follow that suffering. And that glory followed and is yet to follow. And when the prophet died, suffered and died, there's a glory that has to follow. Because this message, he said, think of what it cost me to bring this message. He says, I've been scarred. He said, God coming to fight on the front line. Not to dedicate babies and bury people and these things. He said, I've been wounded. He said, it cost me to bring this message. And that night, he tells the story and the rings of a snow white dove about the dove that was wounded, shot at by all them organizations. With the guns. Wounded, but we determined to carry the message. Because how the people pinned down? Hallelujah! How the people like you're pinned down tonight? Some of you, it's demon power getting to your body. Some of you can't grow. That was the size of maybe a little piwa a few years ago. Now it's coming like a grapefruit. You're walking it inside of you, but you're hanging on. Because you believe in God. Amen. You say, I believe God. I testify. I'm standing here. I'm trusting God. And you're carrying it. Amen. And you're looking for deliverance. Often for deliverance I cried. Trusting in the Lord. Amen. You think God has seen all that? Everything is puke and it come up. You think God has seen all that? All God said, remember,
is 6 inches long. Can you tell the prophet? Remember one of these days. He said, I can only see a vision of myself here. I'll have some peace. I seen vision for this one, vision for that one, vision for this one, touching this one. The 50-pound cancer fall of this one. And I carry this. And then one day, sovereign grace. He didn't even wait. He said, I look over there. And here was the enemy dead. He said, Manna, look. She could see. It's a vision. But it's so real. And he heard a voice say, go up into Sabino Canyon. He said, after I dropped my little boy to school, I went up, climbed up there. And while I was coming up, passing this tall cactus, this tree on a mountain outside of Jerusalem, 200 Jerusalem, the enemy that brought suffering, he saw it sticking a tree. Dead! Amen. He said, tremble. And the voice spoke, your enemy is dead. Oh my! You mean a man could catch a vision and then with faith in the vision, he climbed the mountain to see the manifestation of the vision, to see the fulfillment of the vision, to see the vision be made real. And when he comes into that spot, walking by faith, obeying the voice, he hears God speaks a second time. The God who was in his bedroom now was in the mountain there. He said, your enemy, that thing that make you bear reproach, that thing that make people tell you, you can't come out of this, you're gonna die. Dr. Ravenswood was the man named Raven. The raven said, you will never come out of that. But the dove, the snow white dove says, your enemy is cancer. Think of it tonight, friends. Think of it tonight. Came back home. Oh God, 42 years of it. It was all mystery because the first 6 doves was dream, not real. In the sense that he saw them flying somewhere, but just dream. He said, but 6 is incomplete. But the 7th one was the God who was giving the symbols about his life. For 6,000 years, a man suffering. 6 is man suffering. 6 seals, man suffering. You have 7 seal vision in Daniel and Revelation. Where it opens up to you, friend. You know what you see? Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Hallelujah! Vision! All denominations, everything gone. Crumble the walls of Babylon fall. See? Then next day he goes up. Going back to the same end, the Holy Spirit said, no, go this way, go to the right. He said, I walk up there. It's hard to take my shirt off. So I was up there, sweating. Let me hand the rock and I begin to pray. You can pray anywhere, friend. Lay me on the rock, sweating and praying. The Lord, you know, you're talking to me. You should have this. I don't understand what's going on. Do you know what I'm going to see today? See? And all of a sudden, look around me. It's a little snow like that. I say to yes. And I say to night. It was God Himself. It wasn't a natural God, it was God. It's a supernatural dove. He said, that dove led me to a figure I've never known. He said, Father, let that dove, that junior soul, come into the lattice. Let that dove fly into the heart of man and cool by my stripes you are here. He said, we are living under the leadership of the great Jehovah in this hour. Father, I pray you let the dove lead. That dove, amen, I'm looking for. I've got to bring a message. John, before the first coming, dove was no natural dove. This dove, before the second coming, not no natural dove. That's why when he took the message, he went from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And he bring it to Revelation 1-7, and then he bring it to the next part. I've got to bring up my next message. I had no more next message. But it's the next fold of the same message. I will ride this tail once more
she will tell the west. We shall ride victory again.
Confuse the theologians. Of whom speaking the prophet is the Holy Spirit said. Not in the tree, keep them out of the tree.
Thank you, Lord.
So, yeah! When I went to see something happen over there, I said, not geographical west, scriptural west. Took the message, went out Covina, California, all the place, and turned and west, I was going back east. And went into glory in a chariot of fire. Hallelujah!
See? That same angel linger around, pull up somebody up the street, take them quite back into Duff Cove. God knows all the people's steps. Like Nelly Sanders, pick up a spirit. When you pick up a bat, when you pick up a dove.
Amen. Come back behind the pan pulpit, come out of the pyramid, and begin to speak.
Jehovah the All is Jesus of the name. Who is the man that walk on the ball of fire? People are afraid to see. Say, it was Jesus Christ in the of God himself.
All except angels with God. He one put. I see seven, I see one. Lord!
He said, when he came in as those seven angels, each one came in a serious life. He said, I pray up by the Holy Ghost. The only one was Moses, the only one Paul was right there in the world. That same one is the one you see over the people when they come in the prayer line. You see, no how to do the healing? It's a command of and go up. Take the money. Sometimes when it happened, they don't even know it happened. He said, lady, you was praying there. He said, you were healed a few than 5 minutes ago. He said, did you feel something warm went over you? He said, that didn't happen just now. He's preaching and watching them being healed. He watching the Holy Ghost heal them all through the service.
Can't we get our faith, dear friends? Can't we get in that kind of realm? Don't let Foreman Richard bind you. Show your brothers to pray here and lay hands and look up to the line. But whatever that God wants to go ahead, amen.
Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. This great and mighty God. Let's get ready for healing. Amen. Of the soul, of the body. Amen. Let this great God who came down, amen, 31 years ago on the wings of a snow-white dove, just come and pray it for me softly. God sends his pure, sweet love. Let that dove fall into the camp here tonight. Hallelujah. The message got home, he says. Hallelujah. Glory and praise be unto his lovely name. Thank you, Jesus. I want you now just to confess his truth. Why you want healing tonight, children? Some of you, you're aching, suffering. You're fighting that devil. It's like in the last round you fought, maybe a 15-round fight almost. Years you're carrying it, battered and bruised. Seems like some of you have you done. But all of a sudden, when you feel like you're going to give up, something rises and no, hold on. He said, oh God, it's painful. He says, no, you keep on going on. Keep on going on. Give you a little ease. Help your oppression a little bit. Amen. But that God tonight, friends. This one I'm talking of tonight. I'm not talking about myself, I'm talking about him. I myself, I'm believing him. There's certain things that I'm facing there. I have to walk a certain way in this hour. When I see the word come to a place and I see the Holy Spirit make a turn back there like that. People out in Zara, people out in Australia, everywhere, calling back and forth. And here maybe not even 5 men around the world in this message who has a hold of them things. But the thing is, whatever capacity, whatever place we are called, we just want to be faithful servants of Jesus Christ.
And without that Holy Spirit, without that dove tonight, none of us can do nothing. With a sick, weak body, none of us can even get going, hardly. Because all our concerns get taken up right there. Why was he looking for healing? To ride his trail once more. To bring that message. Why do you want healing? Because that part of the message is given to you. That's why you want it. Because it will be a voice, a testimony going forth. It will be a display of the faith. That you trust in him, you believe him. He has taught many of you to appreciate suffering. He has made many of you to understand the schools of pain. Many of you come out as graduates. You know what it is to suffer. You know what it is to feel rejected and forgotten and neglected and maybe just cast aside. It's hard sometimes. He's had cried many a day. But faith wasn't forgotten. Faith wasn't forgotten, friend. Hallelujah.
On the wings of the moonlight,
believe him tonight. Sign from above, that's what you want tonight. Sing to that dove tonight. I just love that dove tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
It's pure, sweet love. Sign from above. Softly listen to this.
Had a brother called Brother Shepherd. His testimony is in one of the magazines. You were sick could be. Brother Bram Storm was so sick one day. He said, come with me. Brother Shepherd said, he took me to the back room where they took him to the back room where Brother Bram was. Brother Bram took my hand and said, those ulcers are real active right now. Then he looked at me for what seemed like several minutes, and there was something in the way. He looked that I can't describe. I felt like there was nothing in my life that was hidden from him. And every rotten thing I've ever done in my life came before me. I thought, Lord, is he seeing all of this? He just held my hand as he looked at me and said, I don't see any evil in you. I knew then that if he didn't see anything in my life, everything must certainly be under the blood. Then he explained to me how ulcers work. And with his hand, he demonstrated to me what happens to your stomach when you get nervous or mad. He talked to me about my nervousness, which he said was an inward but not an outward nervousness. But remember, he told me as he shook his finger at me, it takes a nervous man to serve God and to do what God wants him to do. Get this part now, some of you who suffer. He said, you have 7 trials in your life. And each one will get worse as you go along. Some of them are already past. But in the end, you will triumph. A prophet looking at a man's life under vision who wants to serve God. He said, you'll have 7 trials in your life. They'll get worse as you go along. But some of them is already behind you. But in the end, you'll overcome. You'll overcome. People's life are set in patterns, in cycles. Moses was in 340s. You know how God dealt with him?
Isaac, different ones in the Bible. All the lives and patterns. One reflecting love, one reflecting grace, one reflecting faith. You may come in the New Testament. Faith, hope, and charity. Peter, James, and John. Everybody's life is cut off a certain way, friends. That is why tonight sometimes you suffer, you go through things. And you try to think of it maybe just in a natural way. But the experiences of God molding you, shaping you, the great master builder, building his tabernacle, honing down that life. Making that vessel a prepared vessel, set aside for a good work, prepared for the master's use. We bow our heads and close our eyes tonight. Just to get a little idea of what we're looking at here in this building. How many of you there's desire and a touch from God in your body tonight where you might have been suffering? Praise God. How many of you think you have some spiritual oppression? Maybe something spiritual you think is hindering you. You don't need outward touch, but maybe something inward you need. I just want to see what we are looking at here. God already knows, but that I will know how to conduct the service. How to set your heart and mind in an attitude of approach. As we approach Him, who's made this great promise. I wonder if a couple of the deacons too will come in front, and with the three ministers and myself here, four of us, we get maybe three more. They would come to stand here, and those who feel led and who feel a burden in their heart, that they can give out something to the people. I don't want you just to come because you, I said deacon, but if you come, you feel a lead in your heart. You feel that you have compassion. You feel that there is no fear or doubt in your mind. Remember, you deal with evil spirits sometimes, and people take these things. We are taught that. People take evil spirits very easy. But I want you to know tonight, my friends, that whatever we have need of tonight, we just take it, maybe just face each other, and so the people can just come through a line, three on one side, four on the other side. Everyone set in the place, and then you, who may not be coming in the line, I want you to have faith together with us. We are just doing this as a former laid hand, as a pass-through. And remember, brothers and sisters, tonight, these things, we have seen this demonstrated by a prophet. One who was born to pray for the sick. And one who taught that every minister of the gospel is duty bound to pray for the sick as well. Bible says they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. It didn't say they shall pray and they shall recover. It said just lay their hands. We know that the prayer of faith saves the sick. The Lord shall raise them up. And I just want to say a word of prayer here tonight. And with the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the building. And you, in your heart, and you would take a line, but still one of you there, just watch that line to come to the side that we don't just get to become a Buddha. You'll come along the side here and come to here. If you're on this side here, you just come right here and go back. You're on this side, you just go to the end, come to the side so we don't get it all misconstrued. But I want to remind you, if two shall agree as upon touching anything, it shall be done. Tomorrow is Sunday. We are coming here to honor His resurrection. And I trust that the Holy Spirit who have been with us service after service these last few nights will do something for us. I long to see some of my sisters. I see them carrying a great load. Sick. Some of my brothers. Sick.
love God buckling, not giving in. You don't talk to them much sometimes, but you watch that. You watch how they carry that load. You hear the confession of faith, they're hanging there. And you respect that because God lets you see the depth of their conviction. That is not weakness, that is strength. There are some tonight that you find that God has touched before. But remember, healing is a temporal thing, friend. It goes and comes back and forth at times. You hear it from the pulpit many times, but Abraham says, unless the Holy Spirit says, you will never have that thing no more. That is a different thing. But then it comes and leaves them, it comes back. He said, God healed you already. You know God has healed you, he has done that for you. Sometimes different sickness, God heal you one, another one comes in another place sometimes. But you already know he's a healer, and God heal you at that because you know another one is going to come to try you again. Like this man had 7 trials. Some get worse. But the thing is, God build that faith. You know why? Maybe somewhere along the line, because he understands suffering, because he's convinced of God's power to deliver, he becomes that instrument in God's hands that God can use to deliver someone else. Are we together tonight here? Are we united together in this building? As a church coming on through these years, growing up in the world, knowing that God heals, knowing that God saves and delivers. Oh, friends, I know he's here tonight. And I know that no matter what we have need of tonight here, in your heart, that's the place where you meet him. Our thoughts speak loud in heaven and our words on the earth. And right now, as we agree together, if two shall agree, as upon touching anything. And I just want to read a little portion while you have your head bowed of this alluding to a snow white dove here. And he said, yes, said that dove looked at me. I walked around. I thought, saw the vision. I turned my head. I looked back. And there he said, the little white thing, just snowy as he can be. Little yellow feet, little yellow beak sitting there looking at me. He was watching right straight westward. I walked around him like that. I wouldn't touch him for nothing. I walked up the trail, looked back, and there he's still sat watching me. Brother, as a son of Abraham, I consider not what the doctor told me. I'm going to be well anyhow. He says, dear God, I thank you for these things, Father. You gave no other sign. You gave the world a sign. You gave me a sign. And the next day, seeing that eagle flying, oh God, there's a message coming forth now. And I pray, God, that you let the devil lead. Granted, Lord. It's led me to a faith I've never had before. I know, God, I know it's going to be all right. I know it's going to be all right. So I thank you for it, Father. And tonight, send on your message again, Lord. Send them again, Lord, on the wings of the dove of the word. Grant, dear Heavenly Father, and everyone that passes through this platform tonight, and out yonder in the meetings across the country, may your great dove of faith fall into their hearts and give them faith, Lord, for their healing. Remember that God is not a respecter of persons. He could send a message to Noah. He could send it to John the Baptist. He could send it to me. Can't send it to others. I pray that that dove would fly to every heart right now, Lord, with a little golden beak and a whisper that by my wounds and stripes you are healed. God grant that our transgressions will be blotted out, our iniquities will be forgiven us, and our sicknesses will be healed. It's in your hands, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Then a couple of people come, I'll just read that, it might fall right to you. He said, how many here would like to say, you can want to say, Brother Abraham, I've been wrong all my life. I wanted to serve God, but tonight I'm ready to surrender. Pray God that dove will fly into my heart tonight. I can feel it fluff his wings as he comes in. And he asked them to raise their hands, they raise their hands. And he said, I want the dove to fly into my heart tonight. Bring me God's sweet love on the wings of a snow white dove, the Holy Spirit. Bring it to me tonight, Lord, and drop into my heart the faith that I have need of. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, God, forgive our sins. The wounded dove has brought the message back. Oh, God, it's finished. We believe that. Just give us faith to believe it, we pray. In Jesus' name. He said, where did that dove come from? I don't know. He wouldn't have been out in the wilderness like that. No, no. He wouldn't have been there. And why was he white? The Heavenly Father knows. He was white as my shirt. there, he said. Why me, an old man, suffered all my life? Why did he heal me now? Why is he going to heal you now? I believe I'll ride this trail again. I've got to bring a message. I say to my father tonight, as Junior seen in a dream the other night, the wings of this dove moving into these windows here. Lord, your servant reporting for service. Amen, I'm ready. Let's believe now that he's moving in upon the audience. We are waiting, Lord. God, send his pure sweet love. Where did the dove come from up there in the wilderness? I'd say this, God seen Abraham near the ram. He for a sign. He Jehovah Jireh can provide for himself. Amen. The sacrifice, think of it. The same God by the same inspiration, by the same kind of people, sent the dove. He's still God. Jehovah Jireh can provide anything he has need of. Let's pray. Almighty God, standing here on this platform, reading out this sacred message spoken by a vindicated prophet, that you came down in the form of a dove and gave him a sign, and he came back to the church and spoke it and put it on tape. You preserved it here 21 years after. Lord God, I opened it right here and read out of it, Father. And yeah, God, looking to you tonight, believing that that was your prophet, believing that that was your sign, believing, oh God, as he said, you gave Noah a sign, you know, to respect the persons, you gave John a sign, you gave him a sign, and you can send it to others, Father. Here are many others tonight, Lord. They have lifted their hands as a sign that they are believing you and expecting to receive. Oh my God, we have designated this night for a time like this, Father, on this memorial day of this great visitation that caused him to preach this message on the wings of a snow-white dove, that he traced that dove down to the Bible, Father, and tied it to the second ride. And here we are, Father, Lord God, your Holy Spirit is here, the Spirit and the Bride is saying, come. And as your children come tonight, oh God, may that dove flutter into their heart. May they feel the divine presence of that dove. Lord, we are only laying our hands on them as a sign of your finished work of healing on Calvary's cross, and all faith in your divine presence that you've come back. The enemy is still dead. Oh God, and that dove is here to confirm the healing, bringing peace and comfort to your believing children. Whether it is physical healing, healing for the soul, whatever it is, Lord, as they come tonight, coming with faith, not looking to us, but looking to your word, looking to this great Holy Spirit, and we together with them, Lord, looking to that finished work, by your stripes, we were healed. And Father, may you give us that strength, bring that fresh anointing, as we believe, oh God, with this year closing out, we're starting to show jubilee. Hallelujah! Our deliverance to the people of God who accept the pardon and grace of the living word. Oh God! You show the sign in the sky. And you hear the God, this message of Daniel and Revelation, Lord, these hidden secret things. Lord God, finishing out here, may we be made whole, Father, for this great work that is still to be done. We are reporting for duty and service. Bless each one tonight. Break every power of the enemy. And as they come, give each one faith sufficient for their need. We ask it for your honor and for your glory, on behalf of your believing children here this evening, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On the wings of a snow-white dove, Brother Bishop, take the pulpit. Let the people come true. Hallelujah. All around the building in one mind, in worship. God bless you. Just come believing, we're just laying hands on you. God bless my sister in the name of Jesus Christ. Bless my dear sister, Father. Give her the faith she has need of, Lord. Oh God, touch my sister in Jesus' name. Touch my brother, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch this young man, Father. Give him his heart's desire. Touch my brother, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
It was not forgotten.